It is a joy to come together to bring God's word to you, and I hope that you have a Bible with you. It's important to bring a Bible or even with your mobile phone with text there, because as I say many times, that you want to open the word of God and see that the speaker, whoever the person is preaching God's word. It's important to open God's word and look at God's word. If he's not speaking God's word, after service, gently and just talk to him. Yeah. So I'd like to encourage you to bring Bible with you and to look at God's word together. Today we have three C's. Yeah, there are 1, 2, 3, which in the outline, and you can fill in what is the C stands for. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his wonderful word. Father God, we thank you for today that you can gather together and to hear your word. And Father, may your word speak to us. May your word encourage us. May your word rebuke us. May your word remind us who you are and who we are before you. And Father, help us truly to be your disciples. Truly, Lord, to be zealous for your word. For all this we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, I believe some of you have watched the documentary called This Is Your Life. How many have watched that? Enjoy it, yeah? Good. Now, many years ago, I happened to watch one of the episodes. It was about a single woman who had adopted a few children. And now these children are physically handicapped. But she was willing to take them in and show love and care for them. She herself was not in good health, but she gave all her strength and energy to her children. And later on in the show, the host introduced some of her good friends who spoke well of her. Her children spoke well of her, and there were tears in her eyes. Even I also have tears in my eyes. And some of the audience cried too. At the end of the show, the host presented to her a book. This Is Your Life. There was a man. A man who has given his life to the gospel and was willing to risk everything for the sake of bringing people into God's kingdom. And friend, this man's life had inspired many people, and I hope today you too, my dear friends, will be encouraged and touched by his life. And this man is none other than the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, chapters 20 to 22, we see the life of Paul laid bare before all of us. His love for Christ and his passion to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Friends, Paul was willing to give his life for the sake of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my first point is Paul's recall of his conversion. In the earlier chapter, we read about how the people cooked up false charges against Paul by saying that he was against the Jewish people, Jewish law, and Jewish temple. Now listen to what they were shouting about in Acts chapter 21:28. Men of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. So, they were so upset and caught Paul and began to beat him with their fists and kick him with their feet, trying to knock him down. They were prevented only by the intervention of the Roman soldiers. So great was the confusion and violent spoil had to be carried by the soldiers to safety. Just imagine. The Apostle Paul was beaten, was threatened. Now, friends, if you were beaten and your life is at risk, would you continue to stay around and share with the angry mob about your testimony? Here, the Word of God tells us that as the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, please let me speak to the people in chapter 21, 37, 39. Can you imagine? He was beaten. He was kicked. And here you are saying, please, can I speak to the people? How remarkable that Paul would ask the commander to allow him to speak to the angry mob. I'm sure that if I had been in his shoes, I would be trying to get out of there as fast as possible. Friends, I would not hang around this angry mob, but not the Apostle Paul. As for him, he recognized this as his opportunity to share with them the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to Jerusalem determined to tell the people about his newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Out of his passion and love for them, he wants to seize the only opportunity he has, hoping that the people will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, many years ago, Pastor Oscar from Nairobi came to share with us about a young man who had the burden to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to his village. So he went to his village and shared the gospel with his people, but they refused to listen to him. Instead, they gathered the women to beat him up. And he was unconscious and they threw him into the bush. He woke up and thought to himself that maybe he did not explain the whole gospel to them. So this young man went back to the village and shared the gospel to the men, to the village again. And the village people gathered the women again and beat him up. And they threw him into the bush. He woke up and thought to himself that he might not have explained to them clearly about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again he went back to the village and shared the gospel to the village people and told them about Jesus. And again they gathered the women and beat him again until he was unconscious, and they threw him to the bush, hoping the lions were eating up. You see, friends, the young man was just like the Apostle Paul. He loved his people so much that he was willing to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel. They thought he was dead. You know what happened next? When the young man opened his eyes, he saw many eyes looking at him. And look around, all of them were women who beat him up. And the women asked him, why do you come back to the village? And he told them that because he loved Jesus and he wanted to share Jesus with them so that they may have eternal life. And all the women accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It's a true story. Isn't that wonderful? before you and I can get an audience to listen to us, two things need to happen. First, we need to speak in a language of hearers understand. And second, we need to identify ourselves with them in some tangible way. See, in the beginning, Paul got attention from the commander by speaking to him in what? In Greek. This surprised the commander because he had apparently thought Paul was an Egyptian terrorist. Paul assured the commander he was a Jew and also a citizen of Tarsus, where he learned Greek and he was not the Egyptian terrorist. After knowing Paul's background, the commander gave permission for Paul to address the people. So having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and indicate by his hand that he wanted to speak. So everybody kept quiet. Paul spoke to them in their mother tongue, Aramaic. With the Roman commander, Paul spoke to him in Greek. Now with the Jewish people, Paul spoke to them in their own language, Hebrew. Now, as I look around, there are many Malaysian Singaporeans and the rest. And most of us speak English. But if you want to reach out to those who can't speak English, what do you speak to them? Mandarin, Cantonese, maybe Italian, if you're Italian, and other languages. Because you want to connect with them. Interestingly, when I try to reach out to the seafarers, and mostly seafarers are Filipinos. You know about that, right? You go to cruise, a lot of Filipinos, right? So I just learned two or three words. Kumusta, how are you? They say Mamuti. And they thought that I'm a Filipino because I look at one, right? Or I say, salamat, mean thank you. So in a way, just two or three words, you connect with them. Like, I went to Fiji, I learned one or two words. Bula! They thought I'm a... Of course, I'm not. Just one word, bula. You connect with them, right? So, it's important to, try to connect with people, you know what I'm saying? Right? So, just a few words. Of course, you know Mandarin, how are you? You know, ni hao ma, Hokkien, how are you? Lu ho bo, something like that. So, there's a connection. Here you are, you can see Paul trying to connect. You know, with the Jews, he spoke to them in Hebrew. Notice how respectful Paul was towards them. Even though they were the ones who beat him up and threatened to kill him, he was not rude to them. Look at the text. Instead, he addressed them as what? Brothers. Look at it. Brothers and fathers. Can you see that? Brothers and fathers. Paul wasn't rude to them. I'm glad that Paul did not have this philosophy, respect must be earned. To Paul, for the sake of the gospel, he generally showed his respect and gentleness towards those who were against him. And friend, this is surely the essential requirement for all of us. If we want to win people to Christ, our rudeness and our pride will turn many, many people away from the gospel. Our young people, young people, they are very, very enthusiastic for the gospel. They love Jesus, but they do not know how to share the gospel. They were rude. I remember this young man came and share the gospel. If you do not believe in Jesus, you'll go to hell. And people avoid him, literally avoid him, uni, you know what I'm saying? Oh, here comes this guy, no, better avoid him. And here Paul wasn't like that. Paul was very gentle. After getting the attention, he recounted of his strong conviction as a Jew to persecute all those who follow Jesus. Firstly, he reminded them that he himself was a Jew. He said he was born in the fine uni city of Tarsus and mentioned the honored name of Gamaliel, his great teacher. He was his pupil. He would have been educated strictly and accurately according to the law of the fathers. That is, Gamaliel trained Paul with strict attention to every detail, not only the law of Moses, but the additional laws contained in the tradition of the scribes and Pharisees. And here Paul is trying to tell them, know that he was tutored at the feet of this well-respected and godly man. Paul also declared he was, as a result of his training, very zealous for God, eagerly devoted to God, just as all of his audience were. Paul then told them that he had, in fact, persecuted the Christians, referring to the church as followers of this way. That is, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also told them that he like a hound dog, he pursued the believers up the points of causing them their death, and some of them were put into prison. Now, if they were in doubt of his testimony, Paul told them that the high priest and all in the council could testify. It was because they were the ones who gave him the permission to pursue the believers and bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished. And here Paul was telling the Jewish people that he was not against the Jewish people, neither was he against the Jewish law. It was because he himself was a Jew and himself was under the great teacher. He went on from there to tell them simple story of his conversion. Let's second see, conversion. Paul makes no attempt to preach to these people, but instead he shared with them his personal testimony. Now how he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, your testimony of what Christ has done for you and for how he has changed your life can be a great impact to your people or to your audience. It is because you are sharing with them your personal encounter with the living Savior. Let me share with you how I share the gospel. Now, your pastor and I were in the army before. During the training time, we have this truck taking us to our range for firing. All right, so we sat side by side. We had to travel a few miles away to the firing range. So I said, now is the time to share the gospel, because the guy cannot jump down from the truck, right? So I sat down, I talked to them about Christ. They listened. So there's always an opportunity for us to share the gospel. Many times when I spoke to strangers, I would share with them my past conviction as a Buddhist and Taoist. I would share to them that, do you know that I was a Buddhist and Taoist before? So, oh yeah, especially for for those Westerners. They asked me this question. You have history of 4,000 years. Why are you a Christian now? Isn't that wonderful when they ask you, why are you a Christian now? And this is how I share with them my testimony, how I became a Christian. My dear friends, whether you're young or old, whether you're one day Christian, you have a testimony to share. Isn't that wonderful? John 4, remember a Samaritan woman? She was so excited to share Jesus to his village people. Remember, he went to the well to do what? To fetch water, right? And he met Jesus and just told her about the living water and found the living water, found Jesus and ran back and left the pot behind and ran all the way back to the village to share with them about Jesus. And they said to the women, I heard about it, but I want to see Jesus. I want to hear from him. And they invited Jesus and just told them the story, told them about him, and all the people became Christian, believe in Jesus. Friends, you have a story to tell. This morning I woke up, I have this song in my mind. Right, so I wrote down this song. I believe some of you know this song, especially those who are around my age or older. This is a song, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story for those who know it's best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I believe some of you are singing the hymn in your heart and saying, I love to tell the story I love to tell the story of unseen things above. I just forgot that this is not a chorus, right? The chorus is different. So I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. And friends, over here, we see that Paul simply recounted his conversion, doing his best to lay hold of the hear of the hearts of those stubborn Jews. He told them that despite of his hostility to Christianity, he was converted. It was on the road to Damascus that he encountered the risen Lord. Since then, his life was totally changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of an aggressive witness, which in a court of law carries greater weight than any other kind. It was on the road of Damascus he met Jesus. And Paul told the audience that Ananias came to him in verse 12. Here, Paul purposely drew attention to the fact that Ananias of Damascus was a godly man according to the law. That is, in the way he was careful to keep the law. He followed Jewish custom and did not despise his Jewish heritage. And therefore, Paul was not against Jewish people and Jewish law. Do you know when I became a Christian, I my parents told me, son, you are no more Chinese. You are European now. Because only Westerners believe in Jesus. We Chinese follow our gods. Now you follow Jesus, you are no more a Chinese. I'm still a Chinese. I still celebrate Chinese New Year. I still give red packets to my children. Here Paul is saying that it doesn't mean that he is a follower of Jesus Christ. He's no longer a Jew. He said, I'm still a Jew. I still go to synagogue. And Paul told his audience that what had happened to him was not because he was some crazy heretic who had thought up some new ideas, but rather it was Yahweh, the God of their fathers, who had appointed Paul to know God's will. And from him he obtained the power by which he was to minister. See, the first thing that Paul learned was to know the will of God. That view was not where God wanted him to go or what God wanted him to do. When Paul had to learn was that the will of God is a right relationship with Jesus. And that's the will of God for Paul and for all of us. He wants us to have a right relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. We need to ask ourselves this morning, do we have a right relationship with Jesus? You see, friends, we can go and tell people about Jesus, but our relationship is not right with Christ. There's no point. Because we will be a stumbling block to those who hear the gospel, because they see your life is not as what you say you are. So importantly is you and I must have a right relationship with Jesus. So friends, if our conversion is real, then I believe you and I should be excited and passionate about sharing Jesus to people. It's because we know that without Jesus, there is no abundant life. We know that without Jesus, there is no reconciliation with our Heavenly Father, since there will be no forgiveness of sin. We know that without Jesus, there is no hope for you and I to gain eternal life. And therefore, we ought to tell people about Jesus. I was sitting there, I saw that sign behind the words there. 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. How can the people outside of this building know about Jesus? We need to tell them about Jesus. So if that is the case, why aren't we telling the spiritually sick world about our powerful and caring Lord and Savior of the world? And friends, could it be we are so absorbed with ourselves that we don't have time to tell people about Jesus? Or could it be that we are not truly born again Christians? My third point is Paul's commission, the treated sea. Lastly, Paul shared with the people about his commission. In chapter 22, 17 to 21, he told the people that while he was praying at the temple, the Lord just met him and spoke to him and said, quick, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony. And this information gives us some additional details beyond those already mentioned in chapter 9, which records how Paul spoke boldly to the Jews. And the result was that they were making plans to kill Paul. So the Christian took him down from Caesarea and put him on a ship to Tarsus. Now, friends, it is clear Paul did not go just because his fellow Christians in Jerusalem were afraid he might become another martyr like Stephen. Paul went with them because he had the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this warning of the Lord himself also drew attention to the fact that Jesus is alive and knows what is going to happen to Paul. Here Paul was serving a living Savior, a living Lord. Look at verses 19 to 20. And here we can see the love Paul had for his own people by arguing with the Lord. And Paul thought that surely his life as a persecutor in the past would be enough evidence of his Jewish loyalty and would gain him a hearing to the Jewish people. The Lord did not argue with him, but commissioned him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. The emphasis here is not on Paul's leaving Jerusalem, but on the fact Jesus was sending him out with a commission to reach the Gentiles with the gospel. Because Jesus was now the Lord, he could not disobey. Dear friends, if you and I say that we are followers of Jesus Christ and we love the Lord, would you want to please Jesus? Would you want to obey Jesus? If we say yes, then we must obey his word that is written in the scriptures. It's because our Lord Jesus has commissioned you and I to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And here, Jesus asks us to make disciples. See, friends, as we go along, whether you are a retired person, your neighbors, as you go for a walk, people walking with you, those who are working, your colleagues. Here Jesus say, make disciples of all nations. Of course, some of us cannot travel overseas because we are too old to travel overseas. But here in Sydney, the community, this is where you can share the gospel, to tell the good story about Jesus. Honestly, for me, I get excited to tell people about Jesus. Let me tell you, next month, my children give us a trip to Europe. They give us a trip there. So I heard about Europe, about pickpockets. Right? We've been to Europe, right? Pickpockets, the gypsies, all this. And honestly, I'll be stressed. So I was telling my wife, I said, okay, they're going to pickpocket. I don't mind they pick my pocket. Behind, I'm going to put those brochures behind about Jesus. They can pick my pocket. I have no problem with that. So I already told my wife, we're going to have those scripture verses behind, yeah? They can pick. See, friends, there are many ways to share the gospel. As you sit in a bus, put a brochure, when you leave the bus, right? Sit, put a brochure there. If you are shy to share, put a brochure there. Train, as you travel the train, right? A metro, put a brochure there. People train, they get bored, they open up and read, right? So there are many ways to share the gospel. Be excited to share Jesus. Are you excited to share Jesus? And let me close with this story, yeah? About an old lady, not well educated, sharing the love of Jesus to a fishmonger at a wet market in Malaysia. And she always go to the same fishmonger. And she was said to the fishmonger in her dialect. I will translate into English, yeah? Yaso Ailu. Jesus loves you. Every time she would say the same thing to this fishmonger, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. One day the fishmonger asked the old lady, say, hello, auntie. Lukong Yaso Aiwa. He said, you told me that Jesus loves me? Then the old lady said, yes. Then she asked the old lady, how can I become a Christian? How can I believe in Jesus as a Lord and Savior? Simple, isn't it? It don't have to be theologically trained. You don't have to go to college, Bible college to be trained. Oh, sorry, I don't know the Bible. I need to be trained. I need to go to Bible college for 3 years so I have all the knowledge so I can share Jesus. Friends, you don't have to. This old lady, illiterate, but she loved Jesus. The African man, young man, he was not theologically trained. But he loved Jesus. He went around and told people about Jesus. Dear friends, whether young or old, it doesn't matter. It don't have to be theologically trained. Look at the woman at the well. Was she theologically trained? One day Christian, excited for Jesus, shared Jesus to his village people. Friends, Paul's testimony calls you and I to have courage, the courage of gospel conviction. And it's evidence from his testimony that day as he faced that enraged crowd that he was willing to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel. Just like the African guy. As I said before, that a friend of mine in Malaysia, you heard about that, right? I came here, I shared before, once. He shared the gospel to the Muslim in Malaysia. And many came to know the Lord. And they have this underground church. Around 80 to 100 Muslim became Christian. And people warned him not to do that. But because he loved Jesus so much, he wanted to tell them about Jesus Christ. And he was threatened by the extreme Muslim in Malaysia, by the government. He flew all the way to stay with Christian and I for 2 weeks. When I look at him, he was so sad because he cannot go back to Malaysia. Every day he looked at his laptop, threatening email. Say, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill your wife. We know where you stay. And they send bullets to his home. At the end of the day, he went back to Malaysia. 1 year later, he was gone. The secret police took him, kidnapped him. Now it's 6 years. The wife begged the government to do something about it. My dear friend was willing to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel. Listen to what Paul said in Acts 20:21-24. And with this, I will close. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God and repent and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And friend, this is Paul's life. What is your testimony? What will your friends say about you as a person and as a Christian? What will Jesus say to you when you meet him face to face? Will he say, "Well done, my faithful servant"? Well done, my faithful servant. Let's pray. Father God, as we come together, we thank you for the apostle's life. He was so focused. He was so focused that he's willing to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel. And Father, we thank you for this great example you're giving to us today. Lord, we pray that we as a church, as individual, were willing to go out and tell people about Jesus, this wonderful news, so that many people will turn to Christ. So, Lord, on our own, we can't do it. On our wisdom, we can't do it. On our strength, we can't do it. But, Lord, with your strength, with your wisdom, with your power, we are able to do it. Because you have promised us you will always be with us. And we thank you for this assurance you've given to us in your word. With this, we are thankful and grateful to you. In Christ's name, amen.